Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week on the show, to celebrate the release of the new Godzilla movie, King of Monsters. We are going to actually take a trip down memory lane and watch the very first American adaptation of Godzilla, directed by Roland Emmerich. And starring Matthew Broderick, it's Godzilla 1998.
Yes, yeah, what a film.
What a film. I know, right? What did you guys think of this movie? Does it soar like a eagle or does it simply flip the bird? What do you think of this movie, Dean?
Yeah, it sucks, eh? I don't know, I was trying to think of like,
okay,
trying to be like pretty, you know, fair to it.
Godzilla was that savage.
Yeah.
It was better than, I don't know, because I loved it as a kid, because, you know, as a young foolish child, and then grew up and realized on repeat viewings, like, oh yeah, this is terrible. And then, you know,
oh, hang on.
Everyone's hating on it. And it's like, this is the worst. And then watching this is like, it's probably wasn't as bad as I kind of came to think it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It still sucked, but it was like, it's okay. It's just better than I remembered it last time.
Well, anyway, fair enough.
Yeah. Currently sitting at 28%, 40% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
Wow. So that's pretty high, actually. That's
16%
higher than I thought
it'd be. Overall.
32 on
it's 32
Metacritic.
For Metacritic score. Yeah,
but who are they?
Yeah,
we only use them when we need to trash a movie and Rotten Tomatoes doesn't support us.
Ah, of course.
Yeah. I think I have like a rule of thumb that if any movie is below 6 on IMDb, then it's probably not worth watching. And it is currently at the moment 5.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
I thought you meant like Metacritic. It's like, if it's below 6 on Metacritic, it's probably not a good movie. You're like, no duh.
Yeah. You think?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is 32 on Metacritic, Jason, so it exceeds your expectations. So
that's at least
it really does.
5 times better.
Sure.
I don't know why I said it like
what
that.
What did you think of this movie, butt. Paul? Where are you at it?
I think I went along a similar route as Dean in life, in that I remember watching it as a kid and thinking, holy crap, this is sick.
Yeah.
And then I was to watch it years ago and it was like, you know, cool. And then I've forgotten it. I've forgotten so much about this movie. So I rewatched it again today. And it was, how would I put it? I watched it in like hour chunks on the train down to work, first hour, train home, watch second hour, train down, had a great time.
Yeah.
I was like, this is an interesting movie. I like the beginning. The beginning in any monster movie when it's like monster discovery and it's still evading.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden you see like big tail comes out of the sea and destroys a boat and you're like, ooh, this is what's happening.
And you're only seeing snippets of the monster and not the full thing.
Exactly. I love that. Like the Meg had that. Godzilla had that.
Jurassic
probably
Park.
Other movies. Jurassic Park definitely had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the benchmark.
And Jaws.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's so ominous. It's really, really cool. Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. And just stuff like that. And yeah, so then the tail end happened and you're like, oh, well.
Yeah.
All right, 90s. What else have you got?
I feel like it's in the tail end of this movie. Like, and spoilers for anyone listening that hasn't seen this movie already. I mean, it's
if you haven't seen this movie,
years old,
it's old enough to buy alcohol in the States. So that's
itself,
on you.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So with this, I feel like what they've done is they're like, yeah, okay, Jurassic Park's come out, The Lost World's come out. Oof. We're going to go and we're going to mash those two movies together and make our own version of Jurassic Park and The Lost World, but it's all going to be in one movie, and that's why it's going to be awesome. Yeah. Kind of thing.
And we're going to take this like obscure Japanese monster and bring it to America, and the fans are going to love it.
Yeah.
Oh, how wrong they were.
Oh, yes.
No.
No.
I mean, like, Godzilla wasn't that obscure, though. Like, a lot of people knew about Godzilla before they released.
Look, mate, it was obscure to me because I was six.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I wasn't really up on everything my was obscure Japanese to me. Monsters. At that point, I was just really keen on Pokemon. Another monster franchise you might have heard of coming out of Japan.
Well, I was 11, so I was a little bit more up to date on my Godzilla by this stage.
Good man. Good lad.
Yeah.
You're already a full grown man when this movie came out. That makes sense.
I was shaving 11 when years I went old. Into this. Yeah. I remember watching this at the cinemas actually and thinking it was amazing. And, you know, like, because I remember also watching Independence Day at the cinemas and I was a nerd back then. So I was like, Roland Emmerich, he can't do anything wrong. He's amazing kind of thing. As like a, Well, you know, I went and watched this as a kid. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's like we were the like demographic. It was like similar to Phantom Menace, you know, that was great when it came out. Because we were like,
you know what? The Phantom Menace wasn't,
Well, it was like...
It wasn't for me.
I was like 9 or 10 when that came out.
I forget that Roland Emmerich did Stargate.
Yeah. The
really good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The actual Stargate, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
That's cool.
I still think Independence Day is pretty... Independence Day is
one of his best.
It's so awesome. Like,
for sure. Yeah. White House Down is like, he's such a like up and down...
It's a movie.
...director, that guy.
It's a movie.
White House Down.
It's so good. Hilarious.
That's the funny one. That's the Channing Tatum one.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
You keep getting you always get it mixed up with Olympus is Fallen.
White House Down is fantastic. Olympus is Fallen.
I actually want someone to go back and like actually put a compilation of every time you're like, White House Down, yeah, that movie sucks. And then you're like, oh, wait, no, that's
I'm
the
thinking
other
of
movie.
Olympus is Fallen.
No, yeah, surely it doesn't happen that much.
And it's happened.
It's happened about 20 times. Yeah, on the podcast.
I can see. Oh, bugger. Is that going to be the next t-shirt? It's just going to be like the White House. Oh, what is it? Shit, there's. What is it? Olympus Has Fallen starring Channing Tatum?
Or like something. I hated Gerard Butler in White House Down. Man.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, that'll be definitely it. I like he's done some duds of movies. Like White House Down, I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But then he has like 2012 and 10,000 BC.
Yep, but then he also does Day After Tomorrow, which is really good. Yep. And then does Godzilla, which is...
Is the Day After Tomorrow good, though?
Yes.
Is it?
It's Dennis Quaid saving
it's
the
Dennis
world.
It's Dennis Quaid, man. Is it,
that's all... All the excuse you need. Dennis Quaid. Yeah.
I suppose he's already used his brother to save the world in Independence Day, so he might as well go and get like the two siblings to save the world.
Exactly. Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid. Your friend.
Shut up. We're not going down that way.
What
do
we think Randy Quaid was in? I can't say Quaid. What do we think he was in?
Oh, what did you think he was in? It was like some... Oh, no, it was in Buster Scruggs. Yeah. You thought...
Oh, that's Buster Scruggs.
Freak.
Oh, good old Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Pop it up in
anyways.
The west.
So, I think this movie sucks too, but it's worth like... No, I don't even think it's worth a rewatch. Like, I don't think...
Yeah.
I don't think this is a movie that you want to go back and watch. It's
Day After Tomorrow.
No. Godzilla. I'm bringing us back to Godzilla.
It's one of those things where it's like
a little sidetrack.
It's probably better than you remember it, but it's not better enough for us to tell you to go and watch it again because it still sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does still suck. And
it's 8:30. It's Friday night. Channel 10's like, hey, we're showing Godzilla. You're like, you know what? Sure.
And you like the remote's at the other end of the couch. You can't be bothered to get up and get the remote.
Yeah, exactly.
Channel.
You're in a bit of a food coma.
Yeah.
It's, you know, watch it then.
There are worse ways to die.
When you get to the, when you get to the second ad break, that's when you realize, you know what? The remote's not that far away. I might actually change the channel.
I love the mind games that happen in the ad break. It's like ad break where it's like, oh, I'll give it to the second ad break. And then by the second ad break, you're like, wow, this sucks. No. And by the third one, you're like, where is the remote?
Yeah.
For sure.
Exactly.
Or so, like, you can't find it by the fourth ad break. you're downloading the app on your phone to be like, how do I change this TV?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I wish, like, that was actually a thing that the Samsung phones had, like, a few generations ago where you could change the channel with your phone. And that actually came in handy a lot more often than I'm afraid to admit. Anyway, so let's get into this actual episode start, and what the actual plot.
The thing that, like, I hated probably the most about this movie, not so much the plot or the crappy CGI or the acting or anything.
There's
the
fact, really crappy CGI.
Oh, my gosh. But like all that's crap, but just mainly the fact that this movie is not on Netflix or Stan or anything, and I had to pay $4 to hire it.
You paid for it?
Like, that is, yeah, I paid for it. You know, what other ways would I do? Like, you know.
I don't know.
Paul, are you like outing yourself right now? No, so you know what I did?
Yeah.
I did one worse than you, Dean, because, you know, I learned my lesson from Hellboy.
Did you like hire it twice again?
No. I learned my lesson from Hellboy, but I was like, okay, it's $4 to rent or it's $6 to own.
Oh, no.
I now own this digitally on YouTube. And I'm like, why? I'm never going to watch this movie again. It's so disappointing.
You're going to have to sit through this with your son and be like, you're going to have to force it down his throat. This is your favorite movie now. Cost me $6.
No, I don't want to have to watch it again. Like, imagine if he actually likes it and wants to watch it like a few times in a row or something. Like, that's just torture. I'm not going to put myself through that.
Imagine if you come home from work and it's like, Godzilla! You're like, oh no! Crap!
Matthew Broderick!
What?
What? Is the impression of a baby saying Matthew Broderick.
Is
Matthew
it?
Matthew Broderick!
Are you sure? Sounds like someone who has emphysema.
Anyways, it is okay, we're getting very sidetracked.
Anyway.
And for this episode that we're trying to keep to an hour, we're already 13 minutes.
Bro, we can slam through this in half an hour. Watch us.
Oh, there isn't much of a plot.
Jokes, guys.
But anyways, all right, so let's get into the plot of this movie. We don't really recommend watching it, so maybe just listen to this podcast instead.
Yeah.
Or wait, do you recommend watching it, Paul? Do you?
No. If you can't find the remote. Yeah.
If you got an hour to kill, if it's on TV, that kind of stuff.
An hour to kill. You know what? Well, this on times two. Okay, right. That makes sense. Okay,
Don't watch all of it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. So we begin with some nuclear testing in the South Pacific Ocean.
Yes.
And there's some iguanas. I want to call them iguanas.
Do you?
They're lizards of various species. Did you notice
that? No, they are iguanas.
They're all iguanas.
How cool is that nuke footage?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's real footage.
I know.
Which is cool. Which isn't as cool.
It is.
But
well, it's cool not footage. As cool when you think about it, but visually, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
It does.
It's the one practical effect in this movie.
The one real thing.
No, sort of. I'm sure the rain was real. The eggs were. Well,
should we tell him, Dean? Should
anyway,
it was
we
milk.
Open yeah, in anyways, French milk. Polynesia, nuke and stuff, because they're bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you do.
Damn the French.
Yeah.
And
whoa.
Yeah. And so then we have a fishing trawler or something like that. Like, it flashes forward. I don't know, like some sort of
like a coal ship
amount of time. It doesn't really say. But there's a fishing trawler and they're all fishing at the same time. And then is this later?
It's the Taiwanese coal ship that gets hit first.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
The trawlers are
Taiwanese fishing vessel gets because then they have the whole traumatized guy that the French and
but was it a fishing
Japanese
boat?
He was
the
captain.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The trawlers were when it was 200 miles off the eastern seaboard.
That's right.
That's way later.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it 10 minutes from now?
But then you still have a fishing vessel that's attacked by some sea creatures.
Yeah, they're fishing for coal. And
it's a big container ship. It's not a fishing ship, it's a container ship.
Okay. Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
It's a ship. Okay, anyway, it is a ship, though.
Look, basically, big ship. All of a sudden, there's a proximity alert. And they're like, oh, something's coming out. What's going on here?
It does say on Wikipedia, Japanese fishing vessel.
I know. That's what I was going
to say. Whatever. Anyway.
I think we should pull this.
We all know how that's done, right?
Something's coming at them. What is it? Yeah. Don't know.
Kojira.
Oh, buddy.
Well, that's what they say. It's Kojira.
I wouldn't say it, though. I'd stop right now.
Yeah, no.
We don't want another John Wick. All right? That was a sketchy episode. We had a lot of conversations about what was safe to release on that one. And if you're unhappy with that episode, that's what we thought was good.
I haven't even listened to that one yet. I'm just assuming that I have no jokes still in that episode because they all got cut.
But man, you don't have any words in that episode. You're just like, it's just
am I in that?
Ball.
Let's just say I could cut 10 minutes out of that one. That's how bad it was.
You just had a silent track.
It's just me going.
A lot of me.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Books. Anyway, fishing trawler, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's
something
attacks. It's some fishing vessel. Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's say.
Some fishing, some vessel, some water-based
coming.
Transport.
They don't know what it is. It's Godzilla. It hits them with a tail. It smashes them with its claws. It destroys the ship and it goes down.
Yes. And then we have the sole survivor that then is interrogated via Lighter, which, as you do.
Yeah, what was that about?
Well, supposed to bring him back. He was a little bit
catatonic. I don't know.
It was catatonic. He was just trying to bring him back.
It was like this hypnotizing Lighter kind of scene.
It's like the opposite
weird.
Of waterboarding.
And then you know what I also noticed is that same shot that you see where he's using the lighter is used in the news report later on. It's the same footage. And I was like there was no camera in that room.
Wow.
And they use it maybe like three times in this movie too.
It's
like in sci-fi movies when you see like a ship's fighting and then they are watching the dog fight on like the command console, but the camera angles are really sick. And you're like, who is filming this?
And you realize, that's the same footage.
There's some bloke on a tether with a 60D. He's like, do another pass. Lure him back.
Because they do that heaps with this movie, don't they? Like all the stuff with Matthew Broderick walking around talking to the army guy. That's just like reused footage from earlier.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
All of it.
And it's just like highlighted in a different way, put a little bit of like VCR grain on it kind of thing. And voila, you've got a news report.
Exactly.
Brilliant. No questions.
After this, so they interrogate the, I'm just going to keep moving. They interrogate the survivor of this ship that gets destroyed. And he reveals the name of the creature to be Godzilla. And then it hard cuts.
What was it?
If you thought you could go from one beautiful location to another, well, this movie's got something else for you because we smash cut to Chernobyl.
Woo!
That's right.
Matthew Broderick is driving through Chernobyl, as you do, singing some crap. Now, this clip, by the way, if you don't know, is sponsored by Bose. Bose are the world-leading producers of noise-canceling headphones. So good, you can't hear a helicopter land behind you.
I know. It's like it's brilliant. It's so like he actually does avoid the cliche completely by having like some of the breeze actually knocks him and then he responds to it, but it's so bad, like that he can't hear this helicopter landing on top of him,
and then he's like, "Ooh!"
And I couldn't help but think that Chernobyl looked a lot like Hawaii, or did we go to Hawaii straight afterwards? Or there was somewhere like there was another location that is like directly afterwards that is meant
Panama,
to be somewhere else, but
Panama,
was definitely
but Panama
Hawaii,
looks like Hawaii. I was like, man, that looks strangely like Hawaii.
Wow, they filmed Jurassic World in Hawaii. In Panama. Damn it, that would have been funny if I nailed that joke.
That would be hilarious.
my life.
Yeah, so then he goes with the army and he goes to this place and he's like, I don't know what we're looking for or whatever. And he's standing in the massive big print.
Yeah, this was cool.
That's right.
That was a cool moment. I like that. These bits, yeah.
Broderick's character is
I don't think
like,
Jason did from that expression.
No. He just seems so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, why?
How could he not? Like, he walks right into the middle of it. And it's like later on when he walks into the nest of eggs and he's like, oh, there's only three. But he's in the middle of the nest and then he looks around and there's like 200.
He's the only one that doesn't turn his head. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, right. Actually, look, look, look.
Stop.
That's
going.
Actually hilarious.
Yeah. It's. I think he just doesn't have any peripheral vision, maybe. Like, that's right. Probably his character trait. Yeah.
Should have gone to Spectators.
That's missing from this.
That's it.
He should.
He's no. What?
Should have gone to Spectators.
No. Oh. No.
No. Anyways. Funny. I'll give you that one.
Thank
good.
You.
I like
thank
it.
You. I appreciate
so
it.
So, at this point, we're introduced to the what I want to call like Mrs. Sexual Harassment Boss, because we have Mr. later on, and it's yeah. the redheaded lady that first introduces herself to Matthew Broderick. It's, she's like has no right. interest in him, and then she turns around and she's like, "Oh, hello,
hello."
They're like, I feel like it's pretty unfair to compare these, like, put these two characters on the same like. The very different levels. There's Mr. Sexual Harassment, and this is like is Mrs. Though? Slightly Inappropriate, I think. The different levels. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they are.
Well, one of them just like, you know, how about we go out to dinner? It's like, you're married, and yeah, you're beautiful. It's like, what? What? This is just like, I think you're cute. Yeah. You know, that's it.
And she's like, do you have a boyfriend? And it's just uncomfortable advances. I think Dr. Nico Tatalopoulos or whatever his name is, I think he was very uncomfortable Ferris in the situation. Bueller. And this, like, yeah. And the recurring joke is actually really annoying in this. Like, how many times do they have to have his name mispronounced and him be like, no, that's not how you say it. I just, nobody ever does that.
Yeah. Never,
like, someone had to write that script and think, what can I call this guy?
Oh, it's or just annoying.
Like a really
and, well, you know why they...
interesting. He expresses, like, writing diversity. He goes from Nico Tatopoulos to Colonel Hicks.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, Jean-Luc, the reason Jean-Claude, that they named Jean-Pierre. Him that is because mm-hmm. it's the guy that, like, he was one of the designers or something like that, like yeah. the graphic designers on the actual Godzilla for this. Like, he worked on the movie. Like, the last name is the same name as him. His wow. actual name is Patrick Tatalopoulos or whatever. I don't even know how they say it. But yeah, Patrick, he said it so many times in this movie. But
interesting.
Is that how you say it?
I'm going to go with it and say yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's completely wrong, I'm sure.
Probably.
Because, yeah, as many times as he does, like, go over the name and correct people,
yeah.
I never actually absorbed it. Fair enough. Just...
Speaking of the creature
Patrick,
design.
Patrick, I like hanging out with my popolots.
Oh. Why was that funny? That was good.
Comedy.
What do we actually think? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to pause it heaps, but like, what do we actually think of the design? Like, not talking about the CGI visual effects,
oh,
animation,
no,
the actual design
terrible.
Of Godzilla.
I reckon
looks dumb.
It looks like a muscly, like a muscle Godzilla. Like, he's just like, he's been like bench pressing a little bit. Yeah, Swolezilla. Swolezilla. Definitely.
He's like
definitely
like a cross between a T-Rex and the alien xenomorph, I thought.
Mm. Oh, that's a good one.
Like, especially if you look at the shot of it on like him at the bridge at the end. It's like, that is fully the xenomorph body right there, just without the head.
Well, it's also because when he comes through the bridge at the end, it kind of looks like the chest burst kind of scene.
Yeah. But,
Yeah, I definitely got that impression of him as well. But I don't know whether I like the 2014 version of Godzilla either, because I always found him like on the other end of the spectrum.
It looks a little
like
dumpy, like, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's like really fat.
He's walking around like he's got a full nappy.
That's true. It's true. He does.
Bogzilla.
Yeah.
I think, though,
I feel like
that
they overcorrected kind of thing.
Yeah, but I also feel like the new design is pretty much 100% accurate to like the original.
Yeah.
Look of
I get
the Japanese one.
But having said that, like, he does look chunky. Very chunky.
He's a thick boy.
Yeah, for sure.
When you like you go to the gym a bunch in your 20s and you look like the 1998 Godzilla, and then your 30s hit and you have some kids and you realize, you know what, pizza is awesome.
You got the dad bod.
You got the dad bod. And now then well, the new one, King of Monsters,
isn't he?
He's 40 and going to the gym every day, but he still likes to eat a steak or two.
He is he's Peter B.
He's
Parker.
Midlife crisis. Zilla.
<That's right.
laughs> He's what? He's
confused. He's from the other.
Anyways, so
all right, continue like, with the story.
And then we have like so Matthew Broderick gets introduced to all these people that are like in the army, and they all kind of treat him like a crazy person. They're like, "Oh, he's the worm guy or whatever." And I kind of thought, why the hell did they even bring him along if they're just going to like discard everything that he says?
Kind of thing. Probably
did you
a
notice
joke.
That? Like,
because it's probably a practical joke. I'm sure. Was it really funny? Get a guy who likes worms.
The redheaded doctor chick. She's like, I don't even know why you're here. The army's not listening to Genius again, but even the army's not listening to this guy, and they brought him in.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what the hell? Like, why do they? Why did they even fly a chopper out there to Chernobyl?
It was definitely a break.
Yeah, like,
or someone lost a bet. And I was like, all right, you got to go pick this worm guy up. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
right. It makes no sense.
Like, where is he? Chernobyl, gotcha. Godzilla 2 is just the blokes from the helicopter who are like, why am I suddenly 7 feet?
Oh, man.
So then we have the introduction of the love interest, which is what's her name?
Maria Pitilio.
Yeah.
What is with
Maria is her name,
movie.
But Audrey Timmons is her actual character. So Audrey. And then we have Hank
Azaria.
I'll
read the wrong column. Yeah.
Yeah. Who is Animal of
Animal.
All characters. Yeah.
Victor Animal Pelotti. What is with the names?
And I don't know.
He's Italian.
There's a lot of random
obviously,
names.
Really?
But does he need to be called Animal? Like, what
hey,
is that?
He's a cool camera
That's
guy in
nice
the 90s.
Nickname.
They're all
animals. Back with that.
Oh, man. Actually, having Hank Azaria in this movie, I think that's probably the one reason. It's like, I'm going to enjoy this somewhat. Kind of thing.
You forget how
somewhat,
good an actor he is, hey.
He's
like
great.
You think Hank Azaria, you think Simpsons. Obviously no one's thinking 1998 Godzilla, but he's really good. I like him in this movie.
I didn't go much on him to be honest. In this anyways.
Go much on him.
No, I didn't.
You're
I didn't
not
think
meant
he was
to
that
go
good.
On him, Jason. Jeez.
Yeah, well, okay.
Raunchy.
he's not the love interest, or is he?
Yeah, well, anyway, so like we have that introductory scene with Audrey and Animal's like, you're such a nice person. And we have all that exposition about how like, you know, nice guys finish last. And
well, it's because she's been an assistant to a lead anchor for years and he keeps sort of abusing that and stuff like that. And she's like, you're too nice for here.
Captain.
I just don't like, like it's really on the nose exposition in the very beginning because it's okay, just show us some stuff about this character being nice instead of telling us that she's a nice person. Because for the first half of this movie, she doesn't do anything nice. She's just exploiting Matthew Broderick's character. She's
really
pretty
is.
Terrible, yeah.
You kind of hope
even
she
towards
gets
the end.
And all you actually see of her at work is she's asking for a promotion. That's the only thing you ever see.
Yeah. So you're like,
you do.
Okay.
Oh, what any propositions,
oh, that's
though?
Nice.
It's kind of like, sleep with me and you'll get it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
So if that's like, that's the other end, literally you can like, you just have to do nothing and be nice in that office.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like you don't have to like try heaps to be considered a nice person. If that is what being a bad person in that office.
Yeah.
It's the same level of effort and trying that Bran exhibited in Game of Thrones.
Bran's such a nice guy, eh?
He didn't do anything, but he became king. Spoiler.
Soul-crushing stare.
Oh, yeah, you just ruined Game of Thrones for
I really
anybody,
did.
Oh, man.
A few other people ruined it before I did.
Yeah, sure enough. So then we have like the scene of the guy fishing and he's catching one. And it's going to be really exciting.
That was funny.
And then we realize that it's actually Godzilla coming towards him and his reel is going crazy.
because this is, it's attached to Godzilla, but I was like, it's not how fishing reels work, right?
And Godzilla starts so far out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. I didn't get that bit either.
He's got a good spring on him. If that's
Godzilla.
It.
Yeah.
Godzilla.
Yeah, no, you're right. If Godzilla's coming,
it makes
at
no
you,
sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It
makes
should be
no
just
sense.
Getting like looser and looser, like the lion should
for sure.
be. Like,
unless
be,
nope,
it's like underneath. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless yeah. there's the tail there, and maybe the tail got caught, and then he swung the tail around, and then he decided, oh, I'll turn around, I'll go this way.
Yeah, because definitely, it's definitely set up that Godzilla does a U-turn at that point. It's like
Godzilla likes to make U-turns,
maybe,
man.
Yeah. He's actually come.
Maybe
out
he's
like,
wrapped in the line.
Yeah,
he's like he's actually wrapping around in the line. Yeah, of course. You know when like he gets stuck and he's like, oh no.
I'm pretty sure it is definitely confirmed. Like the way he gets to New York is like he goes under New York and then he gets to the other side and then swings around and then comes out New York. That's
that's. Well, if I know anything about geography, it's that all islands float.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So he just swam under the island.
So he would have
like,
just passed. It's actually the fisherman's fault because he would have just passed through. Yeah. No harm done. Right. He just gets caught. He's like, oh man, I better return this fishing rod back to this guy. And that's
again, like last week on our John Wick episode, you'll realize that we, as three Aussies from Australia, know a lot about New York.
We do.
And one of the things is that it floats.
New York is
New York
floating
floats.
Barge.
That's
it's
right.
A giant
barge. I've seen, you know what would have been a sick cross promotion?
What's
is
that?
If they did an episode of Friends where like there's a blackout and it's like, oh, it's like a weird little earthquake kind of thing. And that's kind of the episode where you're like, oh, Godzilla.
Yeah, because that would have been like peak,
so you could
peak
say it.
Friends.
It would have been, man.
Well.
1998 was like,
oh,
like,
imagine
that were the
that.
Biggest people in sitcom.
So like, because imagine like, that's it. Like, that's how they ended Friends. Like, Godzilla attacks the
Godzilla
city.
Godzilla eats them.
They're like, you know, they're in Central Park and they're like, the whole building collapses. And then it comes up. So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
Oh, you just have Godzilla sitting on the couch.
Godzilla looks at the camera. It's like, how you doing?
Yeah. Oh no. Well, I
Godzilla
I
doesn't
put
share
it past
food.
This movie.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we have the scenes of like, you know, all the chaos and everything that's ensuing from Godzilla coming through, and there's a scene where this whole building shakes and one of them, I kind of remember what character it is, says, "Is that a parade?"
Oh, it's the anchor.
I was like, what?
It's the guy who's playing that lead anchor guy that we all hate.
I swear it was a female that says it because he doesn't
it's
even notice.
It's Hank Azaria's girlfriend slash wife slash thing.
That's right.
It
is too.
And there's like, what parades happen in New York?
Again, as someone from Australia, I don't understand the parades in New York.
Yeah, oh no,
but they happen
course.
Nearly every day, apparently.
The parades in New York
like
are called riots. the other bit that you're talking about, like that you're thinking of with, you know, the captain harassment dude, is when
Captain Harassment. Marvel Phase 4.
He's the new villain for Captain Marvel.
Hey, Scarlet Witch. Hey, Scarlet Witch.
You don't get your own movie. Oh, man. anyway, yeah, like he's on the phone and he's like the one person in the building that doesn't hear or feel Godzilla passing the window.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he turns like just at the right time
to
miss.
He misses it.
Yeah. And
then he turns away and misses it again.
The assistant says like the most annoying thing in the world. She's like,
what's
that? I think your story just went past the window.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, where? Kind of thing.
What?
And like,
is it a parade?
Yeah.
It's a very, very natural reaction to seeing a giant lizard, not like, or anything like that.
I honestly, like some of the reactions in this movie are so low key that people, I'm like, I don't believe the really crappy visual effects because the reaction is so like, oh,
what do you mean? Right.
There's a giant like, monster.
You don't like Hank Azaria running around the corner seat and going, oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, geez. Yeah. When he slips into like his mo, yeah.
He does like the most is like,
oh, geez. Yep. Yeah. So good.
Not today, old friend.
And then he like, yeah, like he's totally just grabs the camera and goes closer kind of thing as you do.
That's a
like,
very interesting point that you make about the whole millennial. Like legitimacy of the reactions of actors that definitely actually affect the way you see or interpret visual effects and, you know, tricks in film.
For sure.
It's why Jurassic Park works so well because, I mean, mostly like, they had practical dinosaurs on set for the actors perform react in front, react to. Exactly.
I think they did have a combination of practical stuff like later on, and you can definitely see ones, the practical stuff with the smaller ones. Yeah. But I also see like there's reactions where Matthew Broderick, where, like there's a moment where he has all the gummy balls or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Go over the ground.
Yeah, yep.
And they like, they're sliding all around. And he literally, he's running away. He stops. He turns around and watches them all fall over.
That's true. Yeah.
Why?
No. That Why? Doesn't, is, you would never.
Matthew, he's just running really generous guy. I was like, look, sorry, that was a dick move. I'll wait here and let you get back on your feet.
let you have a like, fighting chance here.
Can you imagine Sam Neill in Jurassic Park 1 running away from Velociraptor and it slips on the floor and it's like,
I'll give you a minute.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
He's like Country Club in John Wick 3. I'll just wait till you get back on your feet and then we'll fight again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's basically what it is. It's definitely that. Like,
it's been on a fighting you Velociraptor. Then, so what? So Godzilla comes in a new, into, I was going to say Newcastle, into new, where are they?
New York. Into New York.
He's
yeah.
smashing everything.
Yes.
The military arrives. That's my favorite bit. Because now we enter the portion of the movie that I like to call, just aim down a little bit.
Yeah, like they just like take out every building they can.
I know.
So good.
Bloody Man of Steel wasn't that bad.
It was like Team America. They're just taking out.
It is totally Team America.
So good.
And they're like
you're welcome, citizens. Like,
and I, at one stage, I was like, this is a ridiculous amount of helicopters. Like,
it's so many helicopters. Oh, also, American helicopters can only fly 200 feet off the ground.
Oh, man.
It's like, oh, I can't seem to lose him. You could fly up.
And then there's this line that Matthew Broderick says, and he's like, like Godzilla's gone into New York and he's like, he's gone into the one place like no other island in the world, this island, he can easily hide. And I'm like, no, he can't. He's a massive monster. He's like crashing
500 feet tall, you idiot.
There's something like, I don't even know how many million people live in New York, but.
12?
People would know. Like, people would see him.
And it's like, disappear. Where did he disappear? It's like, he's probably hiding in a building. That is one of the lines. It's like, how do we find him? It's like, probably look for the building with the giant hole in it.
No. It could have been, he's gone to the one island that, you know, he could hide in. And then he hear the Friends music play and then he's smashing through their apartment. Oh, my God. Also, there is 19.8 million people in New York.
There you go.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, that was in 2019.
Yeah. And that's why, because there are so many people in New York, he's just going to blend in.
That was 18 million in 1990, so yeah.
He just completely blends into the crowd.
Blends into the crowd.
He plays an extra in Gossip Girl.
It's like there's no way we're going to be able to find him in all these 18 million people. We're going to have to, like, do, you know.
Can you believe there's some dinosaurs on Santa City? Yeah, I know, right?
All right, got to check everyone's ID. Are you actually a giant lizard?
No.
Who do you think you are, pal? All right, yeah, you're a New Yorker. Come on in.
Anyway, so we have like the more helicopters than are in Kong Skull Island, flying through the city.
Yeah, Frank, and that's impressive.
He does like He does like the surprise attack on one of the helicopters.
Oh, the, from the bottom?
From below.
From below.
Like you said, Paul, like they're just going to look down a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't see it because it's not directly in front of me. Where is it?
Yeah. He does the jaws trick. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. At this point, the girlfriend Audrey comes along and she wants to get her story. So she goes to talk to Matthew Broderick. I'm just going to call him Matthew Broderick.
Just call him Bueller. It's going to be way more fun if we call him Ferris Bueller from now on.
Ferris Bueller.
All right. Bueller. Godzilla versus Ferris Bueller. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He pretty much does, like, his acting range is so limited. It's unfortunate because, like, he really suits Ferris Bueller in those kind of roles. But I just can't. I do not buy him as a doctor.
Because
I do not believe
he's one of those actors that managed to land, like, such an iconic role at a young age.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, he is a massive part, like he's forever going to be a part of pop culture because of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like any
the thing that I do remember him more from is Simba. So I was actually thinking Simba versus Godzilla.
That's true. But
because
the voice for
like,
sure.
It's, yeah. But yeah, anyway, so.
He hasn't done many other good movies or he hasn't been very good in other movies.
He was good in Glory. Glory was great, but you guys probably wouldn't have seen that movie.
Nah.
What year was that?
Is that pre
I think it was in 89?
Yeah, pre-90s.
Wow. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. I think it was 89.
Cool reference, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, Denzel Washington won the Oscar for that one. So, yeah. Just saying. It's a great movie if you ever get a chance to watch it. Great war movie on, what do you call it, the American Civil War.
Oh, okay. See, I thought we were ticking the weird old reference box with Ferris Bueller, but apparently not.
Just gonna it's after Ferris Bueller that this movie was made, and it's it's Edward Zwick. I don't know how you say his name, but I always get him confused with Robert Zemeckis for some reason. But
Zemeckis.
Yeah, he's just because the names
Gremlins, Back to the Future,
similar.
Dude, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Wait, was he Gremlins or was that Christopher Columbus?
You know what? You're probably right.
I think Christopher Columbus was Gremlins.
Right, Columbus, yeah.
You're
There's your old movie reference.
Boom. Shivers. Yeah, you put me,
man, that movie
put me in my books.
That would probably predate Glory.
Well, I was going to say that Matthew Broderick should have been a lot better at this because he showed great tactical advantage in War Games.
I haven't seen War Games, so.
What?
No. No, I haven't. I've never seen
1980 something. Six?
I would.
Hang on. I haven't seen it.
I would very much like to get back to Godzilla.
Yeah. Anyway, so War Games is going up against Godzilla.
War Games.
And,
sounds good.
And we have Audrey comes in and she's like, hey, how you doing? I know I sort of ghosted you, because she admits to like ghosting before it was a thing. When he's like, I tried to call you or whatever, you just totally disappeared and you don't like, you never whatever. And she's like, oh, you still hung up on that? And he's like, yeah, it was 8 years ago or something like that.
And then she absolutely power moves him and just walks away. And you're like, oh, I mean, I guess I'm sorry. Sorry. What? Why am I apologizing? But sorry. What?
Yeah. Oh, man. Completely. Yeah.
I feel like I've lost.
Yeah, and then so she ends up going to like the army base or whatever where he is, and there's that confidential tape that she steals from him, marked confidential. That's just just there.
Such a nice person, really.
Yeah,
she's so nice.
And that's got the footage of the
interrogation,
lighter interrogation beginning, and also some. Well, no, they don't have the footage, but somehow she gets like a mental footage and puts that onto the news as well from him getting out of the car that she previously seen, kind of thing. You know how like there's that same repeated shot where he jumps out of the car, the army car, and they have like him circled and everything like that.
Oh yeah,
it's actually from where she first sees him, I believe.
in their
yes.
lives.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
On the news.
On the news. And they repeat that same shot. So she creates her little package of what
stolen
what
footage
is,
yep.
and then mm-hmm. yeah. And then Captain Harassment steals
Captain Harassment.
yeah.
Oh
and
man.
So she's surprised to see it on the news with Captain Harassment, mm-hmm. but somehow he knows who her source is. And completely, like, points out Matthew Broderick
well,
because...
look, it's probably pretty easy to suggest, like, you know, to say that he just completely copied off her script. And so she name-dropped
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but she didn't name him. She
didn't she?
She never named him in
we
her...
Didn't,
no, no.
We didn't really see what her report had in it kind of thing. Like, we just kind of
no,
skipped
because
over
she just
that.
Had, like, the name of the monster.
Yeah.
Just some other crap like that.
Yeah, it did. And also Animal asked her where she got the information from. And
oh,
she was
that's
like,
right.
oh, it's an
yeah.
anonymous source or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she was never going to name him. So somehow Captain Harassment worked it out, even though
probably
he
harassing
wasn't
people.
Anywhere near her. Yeah, yeah. maybe.
Yeah, I don't
know. So he's actually
how.
Really – I think he's just really good at his job. So I think we're not giving him enough credit, really. Because obviously he's able to work out.
You're right.
Who
we
she was
should give more
to,
credit so. To the white misogynist in this movie for sure.
Yeah,
he's,
that
he's
poor,
the true underdog
man.
Of the story. Nobody's giving him the damn respect he deserves.
Yeah. It's the origin story of Captain Harassment. This movie, so.
I had it all, and a damn giant lizard took it all away. Now I'm back.
Yeah,
very easily,
anyway.
In fact.
And so Matthew Broderick gets kicked off the army base, even though, like, you know, they've brought him in for his expertise, but, you know, apparently they don't need that anymore in this
yeah.
in this situation. I don't know, like, I don't know about you, but, like, if someone, like, leaked information and you're in the middle of, like, a chaotic moment where
we're totally
you're, like,
missing,
ground zero.
We're missing a very important point where, like, their
yeah,
first plan to try to get Godzilla out with all the big pile of fish. That came before this bit,
oh,
right?
That's right, yeah.
Because that's, like, where, yeah. And
yeah,
I was, like,
right.
I was kind of confused at that point because I completely forgot about this bit. And just, like, I saw that, like, whole scene. I was like, okay, so they've got a pile of fish outside the Continental. So clearly they're...
It is the Continental.
Their plan is to lure Godzilla into, like, there. And so John Wick's just going to come out and take him on one-on-one. That's the plan.
What if John Wick comes out and he's like, you killed my lizard?
Freak.
They straight after that scene they blow up the Continental, right? That's when the fleet of helicopters come through and then explode.
You're welcome,
the
America.
Hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But yeah.
That's funny.
They do have that where they're luring him out, trying to shoot him with the fish, where they get, like, heaps and heaps of fish from everywhere. And then later on, the news story breaks, and that's when they send Matthew Broderick packing because...
Yeah.
I love how they say my name as well. Scientist Matthew Bobolich. And everyone at the military table's like,
what?
Like minutes after he just said he might be nesting. And like, nah, he's not nesting. And the news is like, what about, hang on a sec, what about the bit where they're like, the news comes on, there's no music, like the TV's on, but then all of a sudden the news comes on and the guy's like, wait a minute, we should watch this. You're like, why should you watch this?
We need to listen to this. And it's like,
they don't know anything.
No, what was the key image that made them decide that they need to watch the stuff that they already need?
Hang on a sec.
Hang on.
Military council in charge of this event. The news is on.
Hang on a sec. I've just read in the script that I need to look over here.
Maybe just like, oh, guys, it's 11. Switch on the news. That's it. Just on the hour. It's like, all right, news break.
After the news, he gets a call. He's like, I wake up with today. Oh, yes, Jenny.
Yeah, it's just like
he's trying to win. He's trying to win something on that.
That's it. So, yeah. So this is the weird bit where he gets kicked out of the military. It's like, all right, mate. Yep.
he's like, no, wait, guys, we need to watch this. Oh, damn it. They've canceled the lotto numbers for tonight. Don't worry. Just turn the TV off. We're going to get back to work.
But yeah, this scene, yeah. It's like, all right, look, mate, you know, it was a fun practical joke having you here for a little bit, but now jokes got old, so get lost.
See you later, boy.
Yeah. So at this point, he confronts Audrey and he's like, hey, you're a jerk for using my confidential information. And she's like,
pretty fair.
I only did it because I'm not a reporter, and that's it's okay because I'm not what I said I was years ago when I didn't make it. So I've totally exploited you for.
I like that he backs himself up though, because I'm thinking, I'm like, come on, Matt,
do not fall for it.
But then he's like, and that makes you think it's okay to steal my stuff, and then he leaves you like, yes, Matt, you get it, girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Animal decides to try and jump in front of a taxi and be like,
hey, come on, buddy. Hey,
come on, buddy.
Oh, jeez.
Give her a break, man.
Yeah, give her a break, man. Like, as he like stands in front of the taxi, I'm like, for one, I don't think the taxi driver even cares. Like, no, I know it. We find out that it's the French guy later on, but as if he's going to stop.
He could have killed him. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. And then, just don't jump out in front of a taxi. Yeah. What the hell? Hank Azaria. How do you say his name?
Hank Azaria. Yeah, you got that one right.
Hank Azaria. Yeah, cool. Well done, great. Jason. I was a bit nervous about saying that one because I didn't think I'd get
Hank Azaria.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe not that.
No. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, so he's sounds like I'm going to follow the taxi to the airport and try and talk some sense into him because, you know. Like he's totally
overreacted at this theft that's resulted in getting kicked off a military project.
He's the one in the wrong for sure.
Completely. I feel like this is the same sort of plot device as like Venom, where what's his name? Tom Hardy's character steals the information from his girlfriend and then releases that information and then she like dumps him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same
totally
plot
valid
beats.
Response.
It's a valid response, but in this, every other character is like, no, she's a nice lady, so why are you being a jerk, Matthew Broderick?
Yeah,
and then in Venom,
a bad guy.
They're going to Tom Hardy. She's a nice lady. Why are you being such a jerk?
Yeah,
you can't win. Anyway,
yeah, no,
you can't win.
So at this point, we realize that he's not in a taxi going to the airport. He's actually in the French Secret Service man's. Jean Reno. In his car in his taxi, and he drives him to a secret location where they're like gearing up to go and try and find the nest because they've been spying in on everything for this whole time.
Yep.
That's right. And they believe that there is a nest and they're going to go and try and find it. And this is where we're sort of into the
real
Lost
quick,
World part of the movie.
This is now becoming the main plot of the movie.
Yeah.
We're an hour in already. And now they're like, oh, hang on. Super side note as well. All of his friends.
Yeah.
Like all of his crew. You got Jean-Luc, Jean-Claude, Jean-Pierre, and Jean-Philippe.
What?
Surely
there's another
name. Hilarious.
Day. Yeah. Nope.
Wow.
Not at all.
Wow.
I just like to call them French red shirts because that's all they become. Wow. Really?
This is actually hilarious because it kind of like gives us like it gives us a little bit of a, you know, free kind of slate because it's like no matter how racist we are not as racist as this movie.
Racist is the filmmakers?
Exactly.
That's right.
We cannot out-racist this movie.
All right, boys. Off we go.
Oh, man.
We've been given green light.
We're not racist, but I should have stopped.
You should stop talking. Yeah. Like one sentence before.
Yeah, it's always one sentence before.
Well, I always think it's like, okay, look, what I'm about to say could be taken the wrong way, but if I just word it correctly, it will come across.
See, if you have to say that, then you're already in trouble.
I think you're right. But then the other part of this is that, like, I always have what I want to say in my head. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the perfect way to word it. It's not. It never is. It always comes off bad. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so at this point, we have the military and they're like, hey, we're going to let the Navy take care of it because like set up another bunch of fish and Godzilla comes again and then they chase him down with all the helicopters. Godzilla does like this.
All the helicopters.
Perfect. All the helicopters this time. It seems like every time there's helicopters on screen, there's at least 10 more than are necessary.
Yeah.
Kind of thing in the moment.
They just come out of nowhere.
Yeah. And they're shooting and blowing up buildings, missing Godzilla completely. Godzilla does like a whole like Olympic dive into the river.
He keeps ducking all the missiles.
I was like,
guys,
I was kind of half expecting him to do like one of those crazy backflip things over a missile.
Does a flip.
flip he over. Grabs one out of the air and throws it at the helicopter.
Swings it back around. Why not? Yeah. Why not?
And so, he dives into the water and then suddenly the Navy's there with three submarines.
Yeah.
Is it three?
That's right.
Yeah, it's three.
Yeah.
And they're don't worry, the Navy's waiting for him. You're like, cool.
Yeah.
And sure. So they shoot off some torpedoes and they're going to like take him out. And he swims around, does the old like sneaky maneuver where he makes the heat-seeking torpedoes come after them instead of following him. So
hey, now this is funny because this is also after the line in the movie where Ad said, look, next time we have to just go at him with, weapons that aren't heat seeking. And then cuts to
the torpedoes weren't heat seeking.
Hmm? What is it then?
So the torpedoes weren't heat, they're just locked on.
To what?
What? That's all.
Heat signatures?
Godzilla.
No, because they actually say he's not like hot enough or whatever. They actually have
They say that up in the sky.
Yeah.
When they shoot the Chrysler building down.
So
I swear they the say missiles, that in the submarines it's in the helicopters as well. Man. Yeah.
The missiles. What are they? Just like
they're torpedoes for a start.
Yeah, torpedoes.
Are locking onto.
Godzilla.
So
how?
I don't know, Jason. How does a friggin' dinosaur dodge missiles? If you're asking that question, you're just not thinking straight.
Look,
okay.
This is a plot hole indeed. Look,
we finally found one, boys.
We did it.
Not the fact that there was no cameraman when they were interrogating the fisherman.
Wait, what?
There's no cameraman when they're interrogating the fisherman, but there's still footage of it.
Yeah, but okay, look, every time I've shot a torpedo at a dinosaur, it has successfully not heat signatured onto it. So it's definitely...
Do you want to have another go of that sentence?
Successfully not heat
Did you have another stroke? It has successfully not heat signatured.
Yeah,
That's a nice way of saying it failed.
It failed because it's not hot enough, okay? Look.
I said two words.
So, plot hole dismissed.
Not a real plot hole.
Dismissed. Plot hole filled.
Yeah. Just patch that up and let's continue on.
All right.
Anyway. So,
what is happening?
So at this point, for some reason, it's locked onto him. I don't know. It's heat seeking. It's not heat seeking.
Giant lizard seeking.
Yeah.
It misses, basically.
It misses. It doesn't work.
One sub gets destroyed, but the other two subs hit it.
And they both hit it. And then we have the shot of him sinking into the abyss.
Or if you're Jason, it successfully does not hit Godzilla.
Well, it doesn't.
It failed to miss.
Actually, it does actually not hit him.
It fails to miss him, and they kill it. They unalive Godzilla.
Yeah. So,
they successfully don't fail.
Yes. Well, look, if we really want to think about it, they successfully fail because...
They do, because well, they don't actually spoil them. Yeah.
Successfully fail for the end, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, yeah, Godzilla's dead. Everyone's like, yay, he's dead.
Yeah,
and they've fully done, like, their full Independence Day. Like, I feel like Roland Emmerich is just going through the same beats as Independence Day. Like, he's got, like, very similar moments happening, and it's the same sort of fake-out killing of the aliens that you have in Independence Day when they nuke them. And there's for, like, a split second you think, oh, they've won. They've, like, got all the aliens. And then you realize that, no, they haven't won, and the movie's still got 40 minutes to go or something like that.
Yeah.
But at this point, they haven't won, and this movie's still got like an hour to go.
Yeah.
Like, see, there's that's the difference in your reaction to those points.
Yeah.
It's like,
completely. Yeah. So, Matthew Broderick, he's off with the French soldiers, and and at this point, Audrey and Animal, they also decide to follow them down to,
of course,
the sewer system or whatever, they're in the subway system.
Subway, that's right.
And
same thing in New York, I think. Same tunnels.
Anyways, so at this point, we have that moment where he finds the three eggs and he's like, I thought there'd be more. And then all the French soldiers are like, you
they
were
can
right.
lay up to seven. Oh, sick.
Only three.
How many are there?
No.
200.
Turn your head. Turn your head.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, these are not down, chicken left, eggs. Right. It's not like hard to miss. These are massive eggs. Like, for anyone listening that hasn't seen the movie, the eggs are like maybe like three times the size of like three humans high kind of thing. Like,
yeah, but everyone,
massive.
Everyone
they
has
look like
tunnel vision
sports mascots.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Everyone has tunnel vision. Like the helicopters, the guy in that went down in the subway, and they're like, oh, you know, and they get to the dead end. You remember that shot?
Yeah.
Oh, and the he turns dead around end.
And the light, and like the eye comes up and opens. It's like that would have been making a lot of noise behind you.
Yeah.
You didn't like think to
it's like what's
turn
that weird
around.
Wet slapping sound of an eyelid opening? Like, oh, Godzilla.
Yeah. Ooh, it's just got a bit drafty in here. What is that?
Yeah. And so, they have that. All these eggs start to hatch and they're like, oh, no, it's terrible because we've started the Lost World part of this movie an hour into this movie with an hour to go. And then we have all the French red shirts that just get taken out like one
it's
after
the other.
Because
they start running about 10 minutes after it's appropriate to start running.
That's true. And it's just, like, also because unlike Matthew Broderick, they don't know how to close doors and they can't, you know, like with the French red shirts, you have the doors bust open with the baby Godzillas come through and they eat them. But when Matthew Broderick opens a door with two of them, like there's two of those Godzilla things, like the baby Godzillas, he just shuts the door and runs away. Because they can't open the door for him. They just they can bust him down for the red shirts, but not for him.
What about the whole scene when he's in the elevator trying to get out, and then he opens it up, and they're like eating all the popcorn, and they like look at him, and you're like, oh, wrong floor,
and they just sit there looking at him and don't move at all. It's like, oh no,
One that actually like there is one that tries to come in, and then he just like kicks it out. I was like,
he kicks it out.
They just busted through a door, but he can like a metal door, but he can just, you know, kick it out
with the
kind of thing.
Yep.
And then also doors of the elevator
Ferris
still closed,
Bueller did
even
not
though,
skip like, leg day, obviously.
No, completely. Right. So then they go on and they're like, oh, we need to contact the outside world.
Yes. Call them. Call this number. You're like, oh, the circuits are trapped. Try it again. Yep. Circuits still jammed. They're champion. Yep.
Wow.
But do you know what the only logical way to contact the outside world is, Jason, in a time like this? We're going to broadcast.
He's broadcasting.
Oh,
we are going to.
But we're going to try a payphone first.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, payphone first.
Yeah, payphone, because,
you know,
of course.
Different circuit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, yeah, of course, broadcast.
The line is busy. Let me try on a different phone.
I was waiting for the whole, it's like, there's always a CB radio. Someone's CB radio is sports games. Yeah. Like, oh, but no, it's worse. It's a news broadcast. Yeah. That still works fine, even though the entire floor has been caved in. The building looks half destroyed already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Audrey at this point, she's like when she like calls up the live news guy, she's like, I can't even remember the guy's name. She's like,
who cares?
Please put me on live or whatever. Please put me on live. But I was like, just turn the camera around, show like what's going on, or say something about what is actually happening. Don't just be like, trust me, put me on live.
Yeah, it took a while for them to.
No,
yeah, but it's urgent. There's stuff here. We need to bomb the building. Put me on live. You're like, oh, I'm going to put you on live again. Yeah.
This is pretty, all of this is pretty, like, you know, it's pretty understandable. Terrible. It's pretty much the way things actually go. Like, I remember a couple of nights ago, Rachel was down at the shops. And like, I was like, oh man, she should get like, I forgot to put this, like ask you this. So I called up a current affair and got them to, like, look, can you just remind my wife to get some milk?
Yeah. Can you, trust me, put me on live.
Trust me.
Dean drove down to Woolies and stole one of the intercoms. She's like, Rachel. Chicken flavored twisties.
It's like, so
I had
dumb,
my phone handy,
like,
so I was able to Google the address so I could get it up on maps, so I knew where to go. So
of Woolworth's head office.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so like they casually do their report on like live to everyone, and they're like, hey, they're basically announcing the apocalypse to everyone, but in the most casual sort of way. They're,
it's
like, oh,
so,
you know,
chill.
Yeah, like, you know, if all these creatures get out, we're just going to be extinct and they're going to probably kill us all. But, you know,
there are 200 here and they're born pregnant. There could be 40,000 by the end of the year.
He was using
Thank you.
Generous adjectives to describe the Godzilla babies.
Yeah.
Like, these magnificent creatures, they're beautiful and they're going to kill us all. But that's, which is amazing.
They're gorgeous. Nuke the building, please.
It's really, it reminds me of like David Attenborough, reporting on this. It's kind of like, look at these beautiful creatures. They're about to kill us all.
Watch me as I put a shovel through the back of its head.
Here in the native habitat of Madison Square Garden, where they hatch over 200 eggs. Beautiful.
It's so bad. It's so bad because it makes like all the visual effects so much worse because they don't believe it.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna believe it. It's like, it's worse than Sharknado, these visual effects.
Whoa.
But Sharknado. Look, yeah.
Some shots I was actually fairly impressed with that I thought. Like some of the dramatic lit.
But they're the ones that didn't have the babies in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more dramatically lit shots.
The shots that work.
Yeah.
Are the ones that actually are using puppets. The shots that don't work are the ones that are like the CGI where they're like floating above the floor. You can see that they're not actually on the floor. Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, no CG, like none of the baby ones, but like the big mummy Godzilla, like some of those shots were actually
Godzilla.
Yeah, actual Godzilla. I was like, oh, that's actually not too bad, that shot. And then it was followed
not
by...
towards the end.
Yeah, towards the end
as,
it gets pretty
as it got... further and further, and when he's like going along the bridge, like that's terrible.
But I'd say like
those shots,
maybe like one out of every five's two, one out of every 10 VFX shots was pretty
one out
nice.
Of every, you know, one out of every 20 maybe.
Well, anyway, look, there was a Corridor Digital video where they were talking about why Jurassic Park, why the animated Jurassic Park portions worked so well. And they were like, having the rain helps because then texture-wise for the monster, you can keep it shiny and you don't have to, like, you know, ray trace light and blend it a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they did for the opening fights with Godzilla. Yeah. It was like, the one, you know, the model's okay, but when it's all raining, like backlit, there's like one point of light.
Yeah, one point lighting kind of thing. It'll, and it, like, works. It looks much better because it's more dramatic, like dramatized, whatever that word is. It's more dramatic and it looks, it's not like...
What? Okay. What? You just made up a word.
I did. You're welcome. Put that on a shirt,
It's not as dramaticapadapadopolis.
Dramatopolis.
Dramatopolis.
Nick Dramatopolis. Anyway, continue.
Yeah.
They do a news broadcast in the military. They do. Thankfully, they've got that TV and they're like, oh my gosh, let's bomb Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, the guy, so they've got the guy's there. He's like, my lottery numbers are coming up. Can we watch this one? We've got to watch this.
Not that guy.
That's it, yeah. Imagine if you're like, oh, ad break, news, I'm going to the toilet. So they then send a text back to them saying, you've got 6 minutes before they bomb the building, so now they have to escape. Yeah. And to do that, they're running away. They're doing the whole classic, let's go this way, let's not go this way. But then they go to the, like, the main auditorium where there's at least 100 of them just standing there.
Yeah.
And they're like, how are we going to get out? We've got less than 30 seconds. Yeah. So the Jean-Claude Van Damme is like, oh, easy. Let me shoot the lights off the roof.
Oh, man.
Because they won't run back after they've fallen.
For sure.
They're scared of glass.
Yeah, you know, everyone knows that. Everyone knows that. As soon as you scare any animal, it'll never come back.
Ever. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ever.
Unless it's sand people.
It's startled.
Because they'll come back in greater numbers.
Or any animal, for that matter.
They startled.
Literally any animal.
Literally any animal.
Except your dog, when you accidentally scare it and then you chase it being like, no, come back, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. Like, I know. You're like, I didn't mean really to step on your tail. Come back here.
They should have just stepped on all their tails.
Please love me back.
They should have stepped on the tails. They all run away.
Yeah, that's what they should have done. Yeah, see?
But anyway.
We should have wrote this movie.
They escape. They barricade a door with an MP5. They run about 5 meters outside the building. Here come the fighters. Destroy the building.
Yep.
So hardcore.
Everyone's okay. Yeah.
Everyone's fine. They might fall over a little bit, which is a nice touch.
There won't
touch,
be any debris.
Yep.
No debris.
So glad.
Don't even start about
a
hearing loss.
It's a clean explosion.
So like, lucky there was actually like just perfect. There was no fallout from this explosion.
It explodes inward. Yeah. It's more of an implosion.
Implosion. Really? Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's great.
That's and, you know, all the babies are dead. They make a good point to show you that. Mm-hmm. And you're still like, are we meant to feel bad? And then here's where we realize that the Navy have failed because Godzilla is back.
Yep.
He's back.
Somehow.
That's the surprising point in the movie, and then you realize that the military are the bad guys and Godzilla was just...
Yeah. Are we the baddies?
Are we the baddies?
The Northman in episode 5.
And this is also where you realize that this is Drogon. The Godzilla is actually Drogon because he puts it together pretty quickly. He's like, you know what? I think these four are responsible for killing my kids.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just these four.
So
these four.
He burns the iron
nobody
throat,
else.
And then that's it. Like he runs off.
She was killed with a pointy. That thing was made of pointies.
Yeah,
everything dies.
It's exactly that. There's like, there's four people standing here. So clearly they're responsible for blowing up this building. I cannot say words right now.
No.
Yeah.
That was very dramatized. Yeah,
like, it just makes sense. Like, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
anyway, it chases him.
Chase
through New York for about half an hour.
Yeah.
And then finally they're like, all right, we're going to lead it across. What's the closest bridge? Oh, Brooklyn. That's where all the people are as well. So let's drive over there. Because easy plan. Here's how you catch a Godzilla, everybody. It doesn't like suspension bridges.
No.
It'll get caught like an idiot, even though it can walk through a building.
It can walk through a building. It can bust through the ground. It
can tunnel.
Break. Yeah, it can tunnel. But suspension bridges.
High density steel, though.
Man.
Yeah. Not going to happen.
Nope.
So they trap it inside a bridge. And then bomb the ever-living hell out of it. And finally, it dies.
Woo!
America has won. But at what cost?
Every
130 million,
landmark.
If you look at the budget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
No more landmark.
And a mayor. No more landmark and a mayor who doesn't appreciate the fact they killed a dinosaur.
Oh, but he doesn't appreciate it because he's based off Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
Ebert, yeah. His
character. Ebert. Yeah. It's interesting, though.
Yeah, so it was a nice little, like, screw you to the critics
but
on that one.
Here's the thing, and here's where it's, like, a really bad kind of, you know, misfire. It's like, if you're going to rip on critics, make sure that your movie's good. Because
exactly.
So that they can't criticize your movie.
Yeah. They had the last laugh on this one.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Oh, man.
But, so then, it's my favorite bit. It's where I reckon they missed an opportunity. So they kill it, blah, blah, blah. Reporters are everywhere. They're like, yeah, awesome. Tell us all about it. And this could have been such an alpha move on Matthew Broderick's part where he could have been like, sure. Just giving her a story. Like, don't steal my crap again. Godzilla.
He takes his story to Captain Harassment.
To Captain Harassment. He's taking his story to Miami.
And then we get the final shot inside Madison Square Garden where there's
what do you mean?
A single egg left.
Surely not. They got all seven.
All three, you mean?
All three.
This one was in the toilet.
Their peripheral vision didn't actually allow for this.
That's it. They didn't look down and realize that.
They didn't. No. They didn't. Yeah. There is one left.
That one
and we
guy.
Get the final jump scare of the movie of a really badly CGI'd baby Godzilla jumping out of the Easter egg.
Out of the Easter egg. It's a weird kind of kid to surprise.
Happy Easter, bitches.
So, this Cut movie that. Sucks.
That's it.
I'm sorry that we did this movie.
I'm not.
Thank you.
That's hilarious.
Considering our options this week were Godzilla or Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
I feel like you chose wrong.
I think we chose wrong. Because we're doing this because of the new Godzilla movie. I feel like we've had more fun reviewing this version than we would have if we did the 2014 version, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Because that one's just like, this one's crap as hell. Like, that one's kind of mediocre. So it's just, it would be talking about good and bad bits. It's just so much more fun to rip into a movie like this. That is just like, it's absolute toilet.
It's not a good movie. Yeah. I'm actually surprised, Dean, that you didn't go with opening saying that you're Dean Devlin. I was actually I was a little bit.
I'm surprised you said you didn't like it because you like crap things.
My goodness.
Me or Dean?
That one's probably aimed at me.
I'm looking at Dean, but I've realized that means nothing.
That means nothing right now.
Yeah, how good was The Lost World? Jurassic World, That was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
Fallen Kingdom, I mean.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't a good movie.
Anyway.
Wait. Paul loved what are you that. Saying? You're Wait. Saying that that's not a good movie?
Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
That movie
it's
that.
It's dumb.
Hmm?
Oh, really?
There you go.
I like it. Liked it, but it's not oh my gosh, go and see it. It's the greatest episode ever. Episode 5.
Yeah, I like you gave it like 4 stars.
I think
stars.
We need to back.
Pull it up. It wasn't that good because I kept talking about how there was like that weird dirty clone girl.
No,
you definitely rated it.
You got pretty upset with how much Jason didn't like that movie.
Oh,
I'm getting
I don't think you're thinking of the right movie. But anyway, that's not important. So Dean, now that we've wrapped this movie up, what would you give it out of Birds?
Definitely giving it 4 birds for sure because it's crap and I love it.
You're not serious.
Dean, what are you going to give it out of
not
birds?
Being serious. I'm going to give it I had a little bit of fun with it. I'm going to give it 2. It's 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that 2? Nice.
We're going to go with 2 because I still have to edit it. Jason, what are you going to give this out of birds?
I'm going to give it 2 as well.
Hey,
I don't
give it
think
2.
It's a good movie at all. It's
fantastic.
It's boring as well.
Okay.
It goes for about half an hour too long as well.
It's a very long movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who do they think they are?
How dare they keep going and going and going.
I regret doing this movie.
What?
I wish
we
didn't watch it.
Yep.
Man.
We all do.
I
bought it now.
You've got more to lose than we have. Idiot.
I think
I feel like my son's gonna come across it in my like YouTube account one day, and he'll be like, "Hey, Dad, can we watch this?" And I'll be like, "No."
Oh, the day he watches Godzilla is the day he loses all respect for his father.
He's like, "Why do you own this movie?"
No, he's gonna lose respect for his father when they're homeless, but they've got Godzilla on YouTube and three copies of Hellboy.
No, I have no copies of Hellboy. Man. Oh, I know. I do have a DVD copy of Hellboy. I've just got a few.
You just hide it
receipts from renting it.
That's like my weekly rental of Hellboy.
If somebody,
no one knows where the ritual starts, but we've just had to continue it.
I reckon,
like a subscription service that no one wants.
Yeah.
I reckon if you like,
or has
if somebody,
no purpose.
If somebody wanted to draw up a chart, I'm sure there's like a chart out there where it's like shows the relation between how much you spent watching this movie and how much you enjoyed it.
Oh.
Now that's like, yeah.
Well, I went to the cinemas and watched this one.
What was that?
I went to the cinemas and watched this one originally. So yeah,
you spent another $6 on that.
Although that was on my parents, so not me.
Mm-hmm. Ah, winner, winner.
Yeah.
Well, I, just to be a little bit different, this made a 2-hour train trip semi-interesting, so I'm going to give it 2.5.
There you go.
But I'm going to put it on the lower end of 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's me. So thank you for watching, listening to this episode.
You're welcome,
guys.
Oh, wait, no.
You can look at your phones and count it as watching it. That's completely up to you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
yeah. Anyway, so I think that brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like this show, you can contribute to the show.
That's right.
By our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month, and that just helps us to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. If you can't contribute financially, but you want to support the show in another way, you can support us by subscribing on whatever service that you're listening to us on right now, or following us on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Birds on all of those, except for Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Bird, singular. Otherwise, that's a bye from me, and I hope you don't have to watch this movie like we did.
Oh, that's so
disappointing.
Bye.
Right. Don't fail to not successfully give us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Give us a 5-star review, please.
Turn your head once in a while.
Don't fail to not succeed at failing to give us a 5-star review. You're not, but are welcome.